All right, so moving into the message for today, we're going to continue in the book of 1 John, but we're going to pick up in chapter 5. And we have two sections of verses we're going to look at. So the first one is 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, and then we're going to jump ahead to verses 20 through 21. So hear the word of the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 9. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And then picking up again in verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come to give us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Dear Lord, we ask that you would just be present in this space this morning. That we would hear your voice, that we would feel your presence, that our ears and our hearts would be open to what you have to hear for us today. And Lord, for me, I ask that you would put your words in my mouth and that you would set a boundary, that everything I say isn't from me, but from you. And that overall, Lord, you just bless this time and align our vision and our works and our will to that of yours. Let us become like you today, Jesus, in glorifying God through our words and our actions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start off with a rather weird comment, and it's this. As humans, I think we're really good at living. You look at the person next to you, to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you, everyone in this room is alive. I mean, after all, that's what we do as humans. We live. But I think we're almost better at dying. After all, I sit back and I think about everyone that I know, and they are either already dead or they're going to die. Unless, of course, Christ comes back before then, it's not a question of if someone's going to die. It really is a question of when. So it almost seems like we are even better at dying than we are living. And that makes the idea of eternal life particularly interesting. It's something that we've been intrigued with for generations, for thousands of years, from the quest for the Fountain of Youth, to the most popular television series or movie about uploading our consciousness to a computer so that we don't die. We've told stories, we've read books, we've, again, made movies and TV shows about this idea of eternal life. And you have to ask the question, why is this? As a culture, why are we intrigued and almost obsessed with the idea of living forever? And a lot of people have their different ideas and theories, and here's mine. I think as a culture, we're interested in this idea of eternal life because we're scared of death. We're scared of what comes next, what happens after. And I find it really interesting being a Christian living in society, because as Christians, we're called not to fear death. We're told that we shouldn't fear death. In fact, the exact opposite. Like, we should embrace it and hope for the future. We're told to focus on what comes next and put our hope in it. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And upon reading that the first time, that really initially seems to be what Paul is talking about. Focus on the future. And if you asked me 2 years ago, I would agree with you. That seems to be what Paul's talking about. But recently I've been reading it and looking at it a little bit closer, and I don't really think that's what Paul's saying at all. He doesn't say focus on the future or think about what comes next. What he says is this: fix on our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So it's not focus on the future, but focus on things unseen, since it is eternal. So naturally, you have to ask the question, what is it? What is unseen? What is it that is eternal? But before we actually answer that question, we have to go back to this idea of eternal life and eternity in general. What is it? And to help wrap our minds around it a little bit, I really wanted to get a really long rope in here and give you a demonstration, but I didn't have one long enough. So instead, I'm just going to explain it to you. There's a famous pastor named Francis Chan, and he has some podcasts, he has a couple books, you can Google him, he has a whole bunch of videos online, he's a popular speaker, and he has a really popular illustration where he takes a rope, and he starts pulling it, and pulling it, and pulling it, and it keeps coming, and coming, and coming, and it seems endless. In fact, he asks his congregation to imagine that it truly is infinite. And he makes the comparison that this long rope is our existence. It goes on forever. But the end of the rope that he starts out with has a little section about this long that's painted red. And his comparison is this red portion is the time that we spend on earth. And to summarize, his point is the fact that our time on earth is so small and so short compared to the rest of eternity. That rope that continues forever and ever. And he argues that we should focus on the rest of eternity when making our decisions right now. Because some people make decisions right now that benefit them in this little red section, in the time on earth. They make decisions that benefit them now, but in reality are a detriment for the rest of eternity. Where other people make decisions that seem like it's a detriment now, but in reality, it's achieving for them glory for the rest of eternity. So his argument is before you make decisions here and now, you think about how it'll affect the rest of your eternity. And I think it's a really good demonstration. It really does put into perspective how short our time is here on earth compared to eternity, and how important our decisions are in the here and now, again, because they affect the rest of our eternity. But I think it falls short in one spot. Where I think it falls short is that it doesn't actually describe or define what eternal life actually is. So we go back to that question, what is eternal life? So your next step would be, well, let's Google it. And you Google eternal life. And what'll probably pop up is something like living forever. Eternal, forever, life, living. It would make sense. Maybe you take that living forever and you twist it around backwards. What else does it mean? Well, it means that you would never die. So eternal life, never dying. And those would probably be some of the definitions that you might find. What is eternal life? Living forever or never dying. But that's not what we read in the Bible. In fact, this morning in verse 20, here's what we read. We read, "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." He is the true God and eternal life. Eternal life is Jesus, and Jesus is God. So what I want you to do is take this idea of eternal life as being time-based and throw it out the window. I'm not making a claim whether or not it's true or anything like that. What I'm saying is that it's not important right now. We're not talking about eternal life as living forever. What's important is Jesus. When we talk about eternal life, we're talking about Jesus. That is what is important. So the next logical question, if we know that eternal life is Jesus, how do we get eternal life? We also read that this morning in verses 9 through 12. Let me reread that for you as well. We read this: "We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. This is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." So, if you want to live forever, you have to have Christ. If you want to live forever, you have to be in Jesus. But here's where I have to be really, really real with you for a minute. If you want to live forever, you've missed the point. If you want to live forever, it means there's something in your life that you are scared of losing. Means there's something or multiple things in your life that you love and you want to hold on to. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a house that you love. Maybe it's power or wealth or influence. Maybe it's your health. You just love being a healthy person, and if you weren't a healthy person, what would you do? Here's one that might be really hard to swallow because I feel like we all understand this. Maybe it's your family. Whatever it might be, we're scared of losing it. Why do we want to live eternally? Why do we want to have eternal life? Because we want to keep something that we currently have. And if that's the case, if you love all these parts of your life, or maybe it's just one part of your life that you really love, that you chase after or dream of this idea of eternal life, you missed it. There is no room for Jesus. You have no room for that life that John is talking about in his scripture. And if that is you, I want you to listen to this very carefully. You are not alone. This isn't some new revelation. It's not something we just discovered. This is something that people have been struggling with for hundreds and thousands of years, all the way back to when Jesus preached the same message. We find it in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this: "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their own cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life because of me will find it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" So if you want any good news this morning, there it is. You are not alone. People have struggled with this for thousands of years. This morning, we had the youth up here and sharing some of the things that they learned from camp. The theme for camp was surrendering all, or surrendering everything. And Ellie Rushing shared it, and then Debbie reinforced it. One of the lessons that we learned about, the pastor got up there, and he talked about having a circle around us. And he stood up there like this, and he drew a circle around himself. And he talked about how we all have this circle in our life. And the circle is full of things that are important to us. Some of us stand right in the middle of that circle because we are the most important person. We are the most important thing in our own lives. Some of us take a step back and we put other things in the middle of our circle. Maybe it's a thing or a place or a certain object that we just love. For other people, maybe it's another person that they love. But the problem with that is if it's not Jesus in the center, it's idolatry. If it's not Jesus at the center of the circle, we have gone astray. If there's something else at the center of our circle that we put all of our attention onto, we put all of our care onto, something that we hold on to so tightly that we're scared of letting go, it has become an idol. And this is something that John cares very, very deeply about, because it's the way that he ends his letter. It's the P.S. at the end of the card. By the way, don't forget this. Or, by the way, this is really important. Pay attention to this. In verse 21, we read this. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. So if you want to experience eternal life, you have to make Jesus the center of your circle. You can't have idols. You can't have anything else taking up the middle of that circle. We have to remove not only ourselves from the center of the circle, not only all the things that we want, all the things that we like, but we also have to remove all of our fears, things that we're afraid of losing. We have to completely empty out that circle if we want to leave any room for Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. What I'm saying is this: to surrender all, you have to make Jesus the center. You can't leave any stuff behind, including the things that we're afraid of losing. Jesus has to be at the center. So we answered the question, what is eternal life? And our answer was Jesus. And we answered the question, how do we experience that life? Well, by with a relationship with Christ, with a relationship to Jesus, by surrendering everything, letting go of everything that we might be afraid of losing, by keeping ourselves from these idols and just putting Jesus at the center of our circle. But with that all being said, I need to backtrack a little bit and go on a little bit of a tangent. We talked about what eternal life is, but now we need to talk about what eternity is in general. And honestly, I think we get it a little mixed up in our head. I don't think we fully understand what we're talking about. Or if we do understand it, I think we get it a little backwards. So what I want you guys to do, close your eyes and think about eternity. What does it look like? What is eternity going to look like? You can probably see an image in your head of what eternity is going to look like. Now open your eyes and think about that phrase. What is eternity going to look like? I think that phrase is part of the problem. A lot of people view eternity as something that happens next, something that's going to happen after, something that happens in the future or later on. What does it occur after? Well, I think a lot of us think that eternity starts after we die. It's something that's not right now. And I think that's where we get it wrong. We think about eternity as something going on in the future, something happening later on after maybe death. But the reality is forever starts right now. Eternity starts right now. Your decisions today are part of your eternity. And the thing is it's not about time. Just like eternal life wasn't about living forever, eternity is the same way. It's not about time. It's again about a relationship with Christ. It's a belief. Your eternity starts with what you believe. And as Christians, our eternity starts with a belief in Jesus. Specifically, that he is the true Son of God who came down, died on a cross, was buried, rose on the third day, and then ascended into heaven. So following that similar definition to eternal life, eternity isn't something that starts in the future. It's something that starts right now with a belief in Jesus. It's not something that you have to wait for to experience. It's not something that we're just holding on and waiting for until we die. It's something that we can experience today. It's how we live right now. Eternity as a Christian starts when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So why does it feel like eternity is something in the future? Why does it feel like it's what happens next? I think it's because it all boils down to this. Our body. We think that it's something that occurs after we die a physical death. Once we are free and shed this body born of sinful nature. And as Christians, we get that wrong a lot. The Bible doesn't say that at all. The Bible doesn't say your eternity starts once you die. The Bible doesn't say it starts once you shed your earthly body. It says we are those who have already died. As Christians, we don't fear death, right? When I started, I talked about why we're obsessed with this idea of eternal life, and I made the comment that a lot of people are scared of dying. But as Christians, we're not scared of dying because we are those who have already died. If we are already dead, what do we have to fear from death? And I can say that because of what Paul writes in his letter to the Church of Rome. This is Romans chapter 6. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. What kind of life? An eternal life. Paul continues right by saying this, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Again, Christ lives eternally. If we live with Christ, we will live eternally." And then rounding out what Paul says, finally he says this, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And so, if we have been joined with Christ in his crucifixion, if we have been joined with Christ in his burial, if we have been joined with Christ in his resurrection, we will join with him in this new life that he lives, a life where he has already conquered death. He has died once for all. And if we join him in that life, we have also conquered death. Because we have already died to sin. We have already died once with Christ. And now we live with him eternally. So yes, our physical body might soon die. But that's not something that we fear. That's not something that we're scared of, because we know that our soul already has a home by Christ's side. Our eternity has already started. We have already died to sin and begun a new life living with Christ. Physical death doesn't matter to us anymore. All that matters, all that's at the center of our circle, is Christ. And as long as we have that relationship with Him, that is all we care about. An eternal, loving relationship with Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, our God, our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings. So like Paul, I stand here today and tell you this. If you believe in Jesus Christ and have a relationship with Him, you have eternal life. We've already read it twice today, but I'm going to read it one more time. This is what Paul says starting in verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. If you have a relationship with Christ, you have eternal life right now. It's not something that you're waiting on. It's not something that happens in the future. It's not something that happens after you physically die. If you have Jesus Christ, if you proclaim Him as your Savior, you have already died to sin, and the life you now live is centered on Him and is an eternal life based on a relationship with Him. So now we can go back to the first scripture I shared, what Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians. I read this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is it? What is unseen? What is eternal? Our relationship with Christ. What is seen, what is temporary, are the things of the world. They are the things that might get into our circle and take up all this room that should be reserved for Christ. And so we focus on what is unseen, because that is eternal. Christ is eternal, and our relationship with Him is eternal. Don't focus on all the things of the world, the things that cause us trials and troubles and temptations. Focus on Christ. Because through all of that, it is achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs anything else. And so to summarize this morning, I remind you of these truths. Eternal life isn't about time. It's not about living forever or never dying. Eternal life is about Christ, and specifically a relationship with Him. And two, this is a long one. If you believe in the name of Jesus and have a relationship with Him, I stand here and assure you today, like John in his letter, you don't have to fear death. You are already dead to sin. You have been buried, crucified, and resurrected with Jesus. And as a result, you get to live with Him. Therefore, eternal life isn't something that you're waiting to receive. It's something you already have. It's something that you get to live every single day. And I would encourage you to live into that every single day. And if you don't know Christ, I pray and hope that you would get to know Him, that you would come to know this eternal life that I talk about, that you wouldn't have to fear death. But I close today by leaving you this question. If you get to experience eternal life today, what does your eternal life look like? Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Dear Lord, this morning we praise you as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. You are the God who provides a lamb and a sacrifice for us. And more than just a lamb, you provided your one and only begotten Son to die for us so that we might have the opportunity to know him and have a relationship with him and by extension with you. Because, Lord, there is nothing that we can do out of our own ability, out of our own power, to ever come close to you. But, Lord, you loved us and you reached out to us and you made a way for us today to experience eternal life and eternal dwelling with you. Lord, remind us of this eternity, this eternal life that we have in your Son. Help us focus on Jesus and keep him at the center of our circle. Keep us from idolatry. Keep us from any and every other thing that might want to creep into our circle, things that we might focus on or like or want. Not that it's bad to want things or need things, Lord, but let us always turn back to Jesus. Let us always turn back to you as that one thing that we truly need in our lives. And Lord, help us take that message. Take this eternal life that you so graciously have given us and let us turn it outward to our friends and our family and our community. Let us share this eternal life that we have with others so that they might get to experience it as well. Help us proclaim the gospel and preach the good news that there is life in your Son. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. As you leave, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you know that you have eternal life today. And may you live that out with your words and actions, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming this eternal life that you found in Christ to whoever you may meet. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.